I'm speaking today with Dr. Terry Greer, who is the superintendent of the Houston Independent School District, and we are talking today about the HISD bond referendum that will be on the November ballot. Dr. Greer, just at a very high level, give me an overview of what this bond is intended for.
Basically, this bond's purpose is to replace the majority of HISD's aging high schools. Our average age of our high schools is 50 years old, and that's well above the national average. And it's certainly significantly above the average of high schools and the age of high schools in Harris County.
Okay. And when you say replace, you're talking about like gut and build new buildings.
Well, we're talking about two different things. Particularly, this is really centered around 20 high schools that we're seeking to rebuild. And in most of those schools, we're talking about basically going to one side of the campus, rebuilding a brand new structure, then moving the students over, tearing the old school down, and then relocating parking lots and athletic facilities where the old school used to stand. Then you have a handful of schools in that bond that we really basically here in HISD call it the Reagan treatment. After our Reagan High School remodel a few years ago, it's where you basically go in and gut the school inside out, but you keep the facade for historic purposes.
Okay. I think the thing that has grabbed most people's attention about this bond is the number attached to it, which is $1.9 billion. That obviously sounds like a lot of money to people. What's the justification for going big like that?
Well, it's quite frankly, you know, we need to ask ourselves why Houston has waited so long to address our deteriorating high schools. And while $1.89 billion is no small amount, frankly, we could spend $6 to $8 billion renovating old, worn-out schools across this district, and we would still have needs. We have not had a lot of bond referendums in our school district compared to a lot of other systems across the state and across the country. And school buildings are a lot like homes and churches and businesses. Simply put, they get old. And we have schools, for example, that simply cannot support modern technology. When I think about, for example, Yates High School, they're still literally writing on chalkboards in that school. That's unacceptable. It's just something that can't stand. And when you have old buildings like we do, the maintenance costs, escalate every year, and they're going to continue to rise. And we just can't continue to take a Band-Aid approach when we have schools with crumbling foundations.
Now, one of the things about this issue is that HISD has projected how many students it thinks will be in each high school based on, I guess, the neighborhood and growth projections and whatnot. Some of the high schools that are targeted for rebuilding are going to be larger than they are now, and others are going to be smaller. Can you give me some insight into how those decisions were made?
Sure. Most of them are going to be smaller, and they're going to be significantly smaller. There's no question that our footprint in HISD is too large. When you backtrack 25, 30, 40 years, and you saw 230,000, 240,000 students, and for the last number of years, we've been running around 202,000, 204,000 students, we know we have too much space. And so what we're doing is we're trying to right-size the schools based on a long-range demographic projection. We've used the city's numbers. We have looked at live births. We have taken our, for example, kindergarten, first, second, third graders and just moved them up a year, each year for 20 years, and factored in dropout rates and graduation rates to see how that would impact what we would look at or look like size-wise 20, 30 years from now. Other thing, quite frankly, is hard to predict. You ride around Houston now as I do on the weekends, and there's parts of town where you did the growth is just phenomenal with the apartment buildings, and I don't think we've ever missed a beat here with the housing market. We've not seen the kind of decrease that you've seen in other places. So it's going to be fascinating. We certainly don't have a we certainly don't have a crystal ball, but one of the things that we are doing is that when we downsize and build smaller schools, we are building those schools, and we're going to finish those schools out where if you have to come back later and add a wing, for example, because of unprojected growth or unanticipated growth, you'll be able to stub right into the plumbing. You'll be able to stub right into the electrical. So we're gonna be strategic about what we build.
I gather that there is some that part of this, though. You know, some of these high schools, such as, for example, I believe Yates, the current buildings they're in are a lot larger than their current population, and the new buildings will still be larger than the current population. The goal, I gather, is to try and encourage more attendance in the neighborhood high schools. Is that correct?
That's correct. You take a school like Yates, like you said, and it has a capacity for about 2,600 students. And we'll rebuild that school for about 1,200 students. And so we're going to right-size the school and make better use of the facilities. For example, Yates has a very good communications magnet program there. But if you go inside the facility and look at it, it's not designed to support that type of magnet. You don't have a green room, you don't have a television studio, you don't have a radio communications booth. I mean, there's a lot of things that you don't have that you really need if you're going to have a good program. We want to partner with University of Houston, with Texas Southern. We have a lot of dreams that a new facility will help us address.
I mean, the flip side to that is that I've also heard some concerns about, you know, maybe some of the high schools being built too small, like Bel Air, which is a popular school as a magnet program. Are you concerned about this?
No, as a matter of fact, we're building Bel Air, we're building Lamar, we're building Sam Houston, our largest high schools. We're building them significantly larger than they currently are. What people forget is when those schools were built, those schools back in those days were only built for 1,800 to 2,000 students, and you've got 3,400 students in those schools now. They're ripping at the seams. So if you look at the amount of square footage that we're putting in those schools, in the new design, there's significantly more square feet than what we have now.
Okay. All of these, the bond will come with a tax increase over, I believe, a 5-year period. Are there concerns about raising the HISD tax rate at this time?
You know, I've always been very conservative, but I've also considered myself a businessman. And there's no question that new schools, good new schools, is good business. I went yesterday, I was on the way home, and my fuel light came on in my car. And I pulled over and filled my car with gas, and I did it with a mid-grade. I didn't do it with the high test. And it was $68.91, and I didn't top it off. And this bond that we're talking about, rebuilding so many of our aging schools, will cost the average taxpayer, a taxpayer whose property value is around $200,000 or so, $70 a year. That's the price of a tank of gas. And that's 5 years out. That's not even the first year. So I think it is a phenomenal return on an investment. There's research study after research study that talks about what happens to property values in an area within a 2-2.5 mile radius of a new high school. And it's significant.
Okay. The last HISD bond referendum was in 2007. And, you know, some of the construction from that, you know, it's still undergoing. I think some of it hasn't even begun yet. What's the status of the 2000 bond, of the construction from the 2007 bond? And, you know, do we anticipate that the construction from this one will proceed at, shall we say, a more timely pace?
Yeah, it's interesting. That 2007 bond, we've already opened 20 new schools that either are new or have been upgraded. We have less than $200 million out of a $1 billion bond that has yet to be spent. And a lot of the delay was by design. I think we sometimes forget that that first bond was a combination bond. It was a bond where you had a certain amount approved by taxpayers, then part of it was a pay-as-you-go financing, and still a third component was we were selling property. And this last $200 million basically is being funded by the sale of property. And when I arrived here as school superintendent in 2009, we started selling property, and we had it spread out over time so that, we basically were not trying to sell it all at once. And when the housing market turned down across the country, we saw people bidding on property. We saw the bids all of a sudden come in at 40% less, 45% less. And we just said, no, we're not giving our property away, because everything we heard and saw and felt in Houston was it was having little impact here. So we held tight, and we went 6 months, we went 8 months, and all of a sudden, the same properties where we were rejecting bids that were coming in under 40, 45% under market value, all of a sudden started coming in at or even above the appraised value. And so we sold that property, and now we are in the process of finishing construction on that $200 million.
I mean, the thing that I remember most about that last bond referendum is that it was actually pretty contentious and passed by a fairly small margin. There were a lot of complaints from parents and some political leaders and other community leaders that HISD was not transparent, they didn't reach out enough, they didn't listen to the concerns of the people. What has HISD done differently this time?
You know, it's interesting. We've engaged a lot of people, and some of those very same people that were so much against the 07 bond are people that have already announced an endorsement of this bond. I don't anticipate having that kind of problems. We are very transparent about what we're doing. We have met with a lot of different people. We're going to continue to meet with them. And as we design these new schools, we're going to involve the community and teachers and principals in the design work as we did in 2007. Now, you talked about the 2007 bond. You know, we are building schools under budget and on time. As a matter of fact, we were able to add Lockhart Elementary School to the 2007 bond at no extra cost because of our savings and because of the way we manage the bond. And so we're very proud of that, and we need to get that word out. We were talking earlier about what happens when you see a new high school built, what happens to housing values. And I just quickly remember what's happened in the Heights when we redid Reagan. Reagan is a strikingly beautiful school. And you look at what's happened in that community with economic development and housing and townhomes, and how that development has, that area of town has just really blossomed. Makes me really feel good about what's going to happen around our community if we can make this occur.
Okay. I mean, talking transparency, one of the issues that, one of the concerns that has been expressed this time, including by a couple of the HISD board trustees, has to do with HISD's ethics rules, in particular with the way purchases are done, with the way, with how, you know, board members can be involved or not involved with firms that do business with HISD. I mean, $1.9 billion of construction is a lot of business with HISD. As I understand it, the board, as we speak today, the board has yet to vote on new ethics rules. How important do you think that is to this bond issue and to, you know, ensuring the public trust that, you know, that the construction business is going to be done in as clear and transparent a manner as possible?
Well, I can promise you, I've been here since September of 2009, and a lot of those concerns have been addressed, and we really cleaned up our bond program. I can tell you that since I've been here, I've not had a board member try to press me into doing business with anyone they know. Now, this coming board meeting, our board will vote on a new ethics policy. And it is a very strict policy model after the one that was adopted in Dallas. They've hired a third-party independent group to come in and look at our current policies and make recommendations and suggestions. We've had the Council of Great City Schools, a group out of Washington, D.C., come in and look at procurement practices that the district has used. And I'm very proud. This is pretty tough language, and I'm very proud of our board. I'm proud of our staff, the way we have responded. And yeah, I can promise you, if I were a taxpayer in HISD, I'd feel real good about the steps that the board has taken to address some of these concerns.
Okay. Is there anything else about this bond issue that maybe hasn't gotten as much attention as some of the things we've talked about? I mean, there's the price, there's the tax rate, there's the ethics issues. Is there anything else about this bond issue that we should know about that maybe hasn't gotten as much attention as it should?
Well, I'll tell you one thing I'm excited about is there's $100 million in this bond to address technology in our schools. And we are further behind than any district I've worked in the last 15 years in terms of our buildings being able to handle the technology upgrades that we need. We have schools that if you were to donate a new computer per child, we could not install them because you wouldn't have the capacity to support it from an electrical perspective. Our panel boxes wouldn't hold and couldn't do the job. And so I'm excited about the amount of money that we have in there for technology. The other thing that's interesting
Let me interrupt you to say that this you're talking about, improving technology in existing schools that are otherwise not part of the scope of the construction.
Absolutely. The other thing that's exciting that I'm not sure how exciting it would be to everyone else, but there's money in here to redo every restroom in all of the middle schools in the district. When I go out and visit schools as superintendent, the one thing that I have heard probably more than anything else from our students, and you have to ask your students as well as talk to your parents and your business leaders and faith leaders in a community. But when I talk to my middle school kids, the things they've said to me over and over is, "Mister, do you understand just how gross our restrooms are?" And I walked in them, and I'm not kidding you. They won't go to them. They're that bad. And so this was coming straight from our students. They wanted to make sure that we had enough money in there to redo those restrooms. Two other things that I really am excited about the bond is this bond would relocate HSPVA to downtown and would put our Performing Arts High School down near our theater and Performing Arts district. And the other is that this would relocate DeBakey High School inside of our medical center. We happen to believe that those two high schools are as good of high schools of their type that you would find in the country. I don't know of a finer medical preparation high school in America than DeBakey, and I don't think there's a finer visual performing arts high school than HSPVA. And to have these facilities, both of these schools, relocated into new state-of-the-art facilities that are going to be also appropriately located is phenomenal.
Do you anticipate there being more opportunities at those two schools for community involvement and community usage of the properties in their new locations?
There's no question. Not only those two, all of these high schools are being designed with that in mind. The other piece that I don't want to miss out on is that all of these schools, every one of them, are going to be designed as green schools, using recyclable materials. They're all going to be LEED certified, and that's something that's not happened here before. And at the end of the day, when we finish with all of this, if this passes in November, do you realize that we're going to still have the lowest tax rate of all the school districts in Harris County?
No, I guess I don't think that fact is widely known. All right, so let's sum it up. Why should voters vote for this bond referendum? What will happen if they don't vote for it?
Well, there's no question if they don't vote for it. We're not going to have the resources to upgrade our aging facilities, and we're going to see schools that are going to get older, and sooner or later they're going to have to be addressed. Look at what has happened in places like Detroit, and look at what is occurring even in our nation's capital when school facilities are neglected. You see higher dropout rates, you see lower graduation rates. And, you know, Houston deserves better. That's one of the things that excites me about living here. This is a can-do city, and our folks here recognize the importance of a quality education. The quality of life in Houston, Texas, 15 years, 10 years from now, is going to be directly correlated to the kind of jobs that HISD does for its students today. We need a well-trained workforce if we're going to continue to be the kind of city that I love and enjoy living in today, 15, 20 years from now. And to me, I'm passionate about this. It's something that I'm dedicated to. We graduated 2,000 more students last year in HISD than we have in the past 3, 4, 5 years, and we did it with tougher standards. We've seen a 45% increase in the number of college-level advanced placement exams passed by Houston students. We know that good facilities are not the answer. It's a piece of the puzzle, but it's a very, very important piece of the puzzle. And if people don't believe that, go visit Chavez High School and Westside High School and Reagan High School and look at those facilities, and then go look at Booker T. Washington, and go look at Lee High School and Yates and Sterling and all of the other high schools, and you tell me that you wouldn't think you were in two different worlds, two different countries. Our children all deserve quality educational facilities. They all deserve an outstanding teacher in every classroom and a strong principal leading every school. Facilities are not the only answer, but they are a key, important component of the answer.
All right. Dr. Terry Greer, thank you very much for talking to me today.
It's my pleasure. You take care of yourself.
Thank you.